Welcome to Teach Languages Online, the podcast dedicated to bringing you the best advice about your online teaching business. I'm Lindsay Williams, an online language teacher from the UK, and I'm your host. Now, each episode, before we begin, I like to recommend something to you. And this episode, my recommendation for you is pretty special. It's my brand new free training, How to Start Teaching Languages Online. This training is free and available on demand, whenever, wherever you want it, just like your favorite bingeable box set. And even if you've already started teaching online, what you learn in this free training is a crucial step to help give you some clarity that will make everything you do going forward even better. So, what are you waiting for? Get close to the internet right now, visit lindsaydoeslanguages.com/teachertraining and get your free access now. And, well, there might just be a special offer waiting for you when you do. That's lindsaydoeslanguages.com/teacher-training. Now, let's get into today's show. Oh, hello, Ashley.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm good.
Good. All right. Well, today we are going to talk about another language focused kind of pedagogy thing that I want to bring to you, just like we did last few times. And I wanted to just start by mentioning a comment that someone shared via email. I'll read it word for word. It said, "Can you talk about some methods that in your opinion don't actually stink? The last two or three methods had all substantial weaknesses," right? I didn't tell you I was going to read that, did I? So, well, the reason I wanted to mention that, right, is because we like to kind of cover all the things, right? There's going to be some methods, whether it's like language learning or teaching methods or general stuff that you bring that isn't necessarily the best. And like, you know, that's fine. That's the whole point. You can't know what happy is if you don't know what sad feels like, you know? So you have to kind of take the good with the bad and just to try and understand the whole picture. So I think that's really important.
I'm just genuinely quite a cynical person when it comes to a few learning theories. Maybe. I know what I like and it's... I know what I like and it's experiential.
So yeah, I just wanted to start with that because this one is a much more modern thing. So we've talked before about the grammar translation and that sort of stuff and it's kind of tried to almost go in order. So I'm like, okay, fine. You want stuff that doesn't have weaknesses? We'll skip forward, but I'm sure there's still going to be weaknesses because nothing's perfect, right?
Right.
So today, we're talking about the action-oriented approach.
Mm.
First impressions.
I like the name.
You like the name?
Yes. Yes. All right. Yes. Sounds functional.
Yeah. Mm. You said you're like experiential. It sounds kind of like that, right?
Yeah. I mean, you've got an AAP going on. It's a nice little acronym. I like to sneak those in.
AOP. What did you say?
What was it?
AOA.
No, what's the learning?
Action-oriented approach.
Oh, yeah, it is AOP, yeah.
No, it's AOA.
I thought you said...
Approach. Approach.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Oh, that's a good start. Okay.
So, it's caught me straight away, hasn't
boom.
It?
Boom. So if we kind of backtrack then, like kind of in terms of how stuff was, you know, like before 1900, grammar method, right? Grammar translation. And the task of the student was to sit down and to write. That was what you'd be expected to do.
Yeah.
Coming forward a little bit, sort of 1900 to 1910, it's lexique. I'm reading this from a French little diagram, so like le lexique, right? And student would be expected to describe. 1920 to 1960, then culture's kind of brought in a bit more, right? Mm-hmm. And students expected to explain. So gradually the student's been given more authority, more responsibility.
I love the idea that it's like the same student. And
yeah, not the student, yeah.
Like, it's the same student, like it's just really, really slow
they
progression.
They should be good at this by now.
Like, come on, man, get to grips.
1960s, 1980, communication.
Right.
With a focus on reproducing and expressing themselves. And then 1980s, 1990s, still communication with a focus on informing and like being informed, right? So that kind of changed slightly in terms of what the student was expected, but the focus was on communication.
Mm.
Then 2000 plus.
Heyo.
Millennium, baby. Action. Task of the student.
Approach.
You got it.
AOA.
AOA. AOA, I'm kidding. Oh. Right? the task of the student then is to act, right? Like, more kind of go back to Vark. That was like episode 2 that we did together. That's like, you know, the kinesthetic stuff, right?
If yeah.
you put it in that sort of sense. So you think, okay, this is cool. This is really modern. But I have to tell you, you know this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching Dawson's Creek right now. Right?
Ultra modern television.
That's in like the early 2000s. Not so modern.
A lot of denim.
Not so modern.
A lot of plaid.
A lot of very quirky hairstyles.
Curtains.
A lot of curtains.
A lot yeah. of curtains.
In the hair, not in the windows. Yeah, all of that
well,
stuff.
Well, there were curtains in the windows, didn't
Both.
They?
Both. Yeah. Hair and windows.
Too many curtains, I think.
All the curtains. So what I'm trying to say is...
jackets.
2000 is now 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But still, it's important to cover this just to kind of see how things have evolved over time.
Yeah.
Okay then, so I'm going to read you this now. This is from a paper that I'm going to link to in the show notes. So if you're listening to this, you can have a little read of this yourself and dive in a little bit further. Okay, the Common European Framework of Reference for Languages, the CEFR, God love an acronym, advocates going beyond the communicative approach to emphasise active language use that develops 5 language skills: spoken production, spoken interaction, listening, reading, and writing, which includes the skills required for writing to interact. It recognises students are active participants in the learning process. Okay. Any thoughts? Was that a lot of
the
words?
It always worries me when...
Oh.
No, it doesn't worry me because it's a very... I mean, maybe...
This method can't sting. We need a good one. What do you mean it worries you?
No, it doesn't worry me. It always worries me when things are held up as being like, the student is now the focus. It's like the student should always be the focus, but I'm coming from a very modern mindset of
right.
teaching. So if this is early noughties, actually, I would have been a student when this, in its infancy. And so as a teacher, I've come... you know, a long time after this. So actually, maybe I'm thinking of it from the mindset of like, obviously the child is the...
Yeah.
Sorry, obviously the
student. But that's interesting because that's a sign of how much things have changed within like 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, just like from a really... I know this
20
is
years,
a...
guys, we need a Dawson's Creek reunion. But yeah, side note, go on.
I have friends first, I think, that might happen. I mean, even from kind of like... education has shifted very much towards the idea of students being the focus over teachers, and although that seems like obviously a very logical assumption to make, in reality the people writing the learning theories were always educators or people working with educators, and so the educators were always the focus, and we think, well, the problem solution must always be the educator, not the student. And so it's a very modern, although I don't see it as modern, actually I can understand it being as almost like a modern context. So them saying like, oh no, this is now the change.
I feel like this. I've put you on the spot, and in your answer you've kind of
gone everywhere.
You've kind of come full circle.
Yeah.
Or maybe you haven't. Maybe you've come 180. Is that the expression where you've actually kind of changed your opinion? That's what I wanted.
I didn't
to
change
say.
My opinion. I had no opinion on this. I just, okay. You know, it always. No, I don't know enough about this at the moment. Let's hear more.
Keep reading.
Let's hear more.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll keep reading.
I don't want to base my entire argument on like one quote and
Fair
a mispronounced
enough.
Acronym.
Mispronounced acronym. Okay. This is another little quote, right? Students can track their progress in developing language skills by their ability to carry out realistic tasks. For example, I can ask for details about a product at an electronics store and inquire if it can be placed on hold using the verbs vouloir, devoir, and prendre correctly. This is from a French-based document. That means to want, to like, to have to, and to take. So that's, they track their progress by their ability to carry out realistic tasks rather than their ability to complete grammar quizzes on verbs. For example, I can conjugate the irregular verbs vouloir, devoir, and prendre in the present and conditional tenses, right? So learning how to get something done in French empowers students. So this means, whereas when, you know, sometimes when I was at school learning languages, it was like very much a case of, right, we've got 10 words of vocab this lesson, go away and learn them, bring them back next time. Zero context, just a list of 10 words. We had to do it in the back of the book. It was like all very separate from everything.
Yeah.
And we weren't given any sentences, any context, right? then we did have some tests because I was like in secondary school. I went to secondary school in 2000, right? So then we did have some things potentially inspired by this coming in that were a little bit more action oriented, right? Mm. So I remember specifically we did a role play about ordering an ice cream, right?
Yeah.
And that fits into this so much better than just, do you know all the flavors of the ice cream? Yeah. Can you name them? Tick, tick, tick on the quiz. Well done.
Okay. I can see, I guess you can see this is a really kind of like beneficial approach.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really, it's almost like changing the goal, isn't it? It's not really about shifting how people are learning, it's shifting the purpose of
learning. Yeah, that's a good description of it. Yeah.
I think kind of like if you kind of shift it towards, it's essentially almost boils down to the difference between an exam-based outcome and a
almost like a
fluency-based outcome.
Like I did a drama thing, right? GCSE and A, yeah. We did drama and we had written coursework and then we had a performance where someone came, an external examiner came and judged our performance. It's kind of almost like the difference between those things being tested.
Yeah,
stuff isn't drama, do you know what I mean?
I mean, from an English perspective, I would say it's the same as having kind of like a spelling, punctuation and grammar exam and then assessing someone's ability to use it.
What was that? Spelling, punctuation, grammar? You mean SPAG? Another SPAG. Acronym.
So essentially it is, I was trying to be really polite.
I know. It's very good.
So essentially it's the same as testing your SPAG skills in a test and then testing your ability to use them in another test.
Mm.
And in nowadays, primary education currently, you assess people's writing based on a body of evidence, body of work, so you can actually see if they've been able to use various punctuation and grammar rules.
So when you say a body of work, you're talking about assessing various pieces of their writing across the year, across the term. Yeah.
And so that would be the same as having this language outcome, saying like being able to order. And so if you're able to, say, emphasise that you can use a semicolon within a short story, that shows a greater understanding of using it than being able to identify in an exam where the semicolon should go.
Yeah, yeah.
And although an exam is very quick and simple and very mechanical and it has a pass or fail, essentially, grade, it doesn't actually prove anything. It doesn't prove an ability. It just proves the fact that the child's in the room.
So here's a question.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely been talk in the past, you know, I've heard you say this, people said this when I was at school, etc. Like, some children are made for exams, some people are better at exams than others, right?
Yeah.
So do you think, first question, do you think that that applies to this as well, that some students would be better with an action-oriented approach than others?
It's
not a one-size-fits-all?
The idea of this is essentially, it is application, isn't it?
Mm.
And there is that argument. It tends to be a gender bias, where I don't fully agree with it, but I do see the evidence for it, and it is black and white, the evidence. Boys and males tend to be better at exams, and girls and women tend to be better at coursework-based
assessment. Really? Is it that way around?
It is that way around, because, and this is, again, the logic behind it.
Yeah.
Men and boys seem to be more, they seem to approach the idea of a deadline or a target to beat as an easier outcome. But when you present with coursework, it becomes almost like a never-ending task, and there's like, well, there's no point in starting. Now, I'm not saying this is a one-fit rule. It's, you know, there's many.
But like you say, that's what the evidence
The evidence does clearly say that boys do better in exams.
I wonder if that would apply. I wonder how gender would affect this action-oriented approach, if at all.
Well, I think it almost changes in the context, to be honest.
Mm.
I mean, I. For
you mean
me,
the context? You mean where particular task that's been assigned?
More like the outcome of what the learner wants.
Okay, yeah.
So in this approach,
I think that's what I was trying to describe.
Oh, sorry,
I didn't describe it very well.
In this approach, it sounds almost like, if you put it in the language context, this sounds like somebody wanting to learn a language for a certain task. Whether or not, oh, I'm moving to France, so I want to learn certain French terms to use in my new job, or I'm going on holiday to Greece and I want to learn Greek so I can order and be comfortable, or I'm going off to Paraguay and I want to be able to communicate in a nice way with the locals, so I want to use Guarani to kind of help me. But if you want just, and so actually the outcome for that, you're going to end up with almost no paper evidence to say you did anything. It's very much personal based.
Yeah.
So like, you personally are going to know, well, I've achieved something. I know this now. I've hit these targets that my tutor might have set me of, you need to go and order a coffee. You need to be able to have a conversation and talk about more than the weather. You need to go to a social setting and actually have a conversation and use these terms. And you'll know personally you've done that. And you'll be able to confer with a tutor. You might have that accountability of an individual, but you're not going to walk away with a certificate that's going to help you in a, let's say, job setting. However, in the other approach where you're working towards an exam, you're going to walk away with a piece of paper, and although your overall global understanding of that language, being able to use it in a kind of a more fluid setting will actually be more rigid. In reality, you're more employable because you've actually got an official document. And although your targets might be based on, like, you're going to have a 5-minute Spanish conversation and you've got to talk about solar panels, and you might be asked to answer a few close exercises or whatever, and you walk out of a document that's actually been tested and assessed, in reality, you don't have as much kind of clout behind it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, countless people have told me and emailed me and said, oh, you know, I did French, Spanish, German, whatever the language is, in school, and I did really well in school, but I can't speak it. It's such a common story, because there is that different approach in terms of what's being taught and what the reason is. And I think a lot of the time with school languages, you are having to be taught to pass the exam, and perhaps the exam is different to how this is. And I'm thinking, as you were talking there, like, even if I think outside of the classroom and I think to kind of language course books across the board, like for different languages, when I've looked at like older books, they tend to be less of this. So it tends to be more like I have a little Esperanto book, little brown one, you know the little one I mean?
Yeah.
And it's got like a list of vocabulary and then a little text, and it says, read this text aloud. And you're supposed to then understand it because you've suddenly had this list of vocabulary and these one or two grammar explanations. And then you read the text, then you move on to the next chapter. And that's really old, right?
Yeah.
But actually, a lot of like the newer things, like the teacher self colloquial, that sort of stuff, we're looking at 90s, 2000 onwards, Dawson's Creek era, right? They do have these specific actions. So like, you've got the dialogue and it's focused on introducing yourself. The next chapter is focused on giving out your phone number. So even if they're outside the classroom and it's self-learning, they're based on that. And I'm wondering how we can bring this into an online setting.
I was gonna say this approach seems to be more tailored towards tutors and small group settings. There is no way you could truly work this within a classroom setting, because it's unaccountable. If you've got 30 students, for instance,
because you are have as the teacher of that, yeah, room, you're having to tick those boxes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you said to 30 people or 30 students, okay, what do you want to do with this language, or what do you want to do with this I'm going to teach you, and they'll all tell you something, and you'll always listen. In reality, there's no way you can do justice to 30. But if you've got a group of three, or you've got one person that you have a tutor with, you can actually have this dialogue and actually communicate with them and say, well, what do you want? Well, I want to do A, B, and C. Okay, well, that means you're going to have to do this, and do this. And we're going to create scenarios for you, and you're going to have to report back to me. And from a, that way it becomes very bespoke to that person. From a, and I know I often go into running and triathlon and things and all manner of,
it's cool. I could pair everything to language learning. Yeah, don't worry.
But this is essentially the same as a personal trainer.
Right.
So you'd say to a personal trainer, "What do you want to achieve? I want to run an Ironman. Okay. Mm-hmm. So to get an Ironman, we're gonna have to do this, 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 and this. Okay. What do you want to do? Well, I want to lose 6 stone. Okay. So you have to do this, 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 and this. What do you want to do? Well, I just want to have a healthier life and be able to keep up with my kids at the park. Okay, you have to do this, 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 and this. And it becomes really personal. But if you go to, say, a spin class, you're going to do what the tutor says.
In a room full of 30
people. In a room full of 30 people.
People. Yeah, spinners.
Okay. I assume spinners, I don't know. But you're going to have to do what they do, keep up for as long as you can, and you'll get the accomplishment from doing what they ask you to do. And if you can't, you go back and try again.
So this fits with much more goal.
I would say no. I wouldn't say more goal. I would say this works with more people that have a almost, well, maybe goal. They have like a specific end point, but how they get there, they're flexible with. Where that's why it's not, I wouldn't say it's really a learning theory. It's more the idea of an approach to how to communicate with a student.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you go down the idea of, no, we're going to tailor this to them, then you are going to have a happier student. I would say that, like, as you should, to do this, you'd have to be a very experienced practitioner, though. You'd have to be really knowledgeable in your field, and you have to have the confidence to tell essentially strangers, this is what you need to do. You shouldn't go in with their, like, a set curriculum and say, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this. And they might say, well, I want to learn to communicate in I want to communicate in Spanish because I'm going to Latin America for 6 months. Okay, so we're going to learn with the colors first, then we're going to do numbers, then we're going to do family members. Yes, that's great, but I need to know how to talk in a hostel.
Do you know, I've definitely had this as well, like, as from a teaching perspective, where I've started to teach someone and at first maybe they don't kind of give you everything, they don't tell you the whole story.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm talking about years ago now, I know that it's really important to get that at the beginning. But they didn't give you the whole story, and then you'd start and you'd go over something, and then they'd be like, oh yeah, I know this, or oh yeah, yeah, can we do something else? I'm actually learning for this, and this is why I want to, this is what I want to. And you're like, oh yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, why didn't you tell me? I think it's about, as a teacher, it's about asking, especially when you're one-on-one and in small groups.
I think if you were to use this approach actually in almost the planning of lessons, you should always make it really clear to people, saying like, okay, we're gonna do a little interview first to say what you want your end point to be, and then I could build your curriculum around it. Yeah. It creates a thing that's very personal. It's a huge amount of work for a teacher, and that's why I'd say it needs to be something that could only an experienced tutor should do, because you need to have the confidence to actually say, okay, you need to do this, this, and this, or you need to understand that the pathway they're going to have to take. And yes, you can be flexible, and yes, you could decide, well, we're also going to wing it and hope for the best. If you wing it and hope for the best, and you might end up damaging that person's journey.
Yeah, just their whole language confidence.
Yeah, but then again, if you built it as a journey together and saying, well, I know how to speak English or Spanish or French or Italian, and you want to learn that, and we're going to build it together, and we're going to have a more of a communication. Now if you were using an italki or another online tutor package, you could present it as like the tailor-made suite. We're gonna have a start of an interview, you tell me what you want, I build a package, present it to the student, say, okay, this is what we're going to do over the next few weeks. I'm going to have this, you're going to have 6 challenges, and we're going to have 6 lessons, but you've got to do those challenges between the lessons. It's a lot of work based on the student, but actually it goes back to experiential learning, isn't it? We're going back into that Kolb model, where they experiment, they come back to the tutor, they go around again, they come back, they go back in. See, it's, it
what did you
perfectly.
Say? Is that experiential?
Kolb's experiential learning, it fits back in.
So, okay, I've got another example.
This one is not trash.
this one does not stink. I've got an example from, again, from this paper, so I do definitely recommend this. It was really helpful to understand this a little bit more. What are these actions? What are these actions that you're taking? What is this approach? What does this look like in reality? So let's say that the learning goal is, I'm learning to describe my family, right? So what would an authentic situation be, right?
Well, you'd have to describe your family.
Yeah.
I suppose like a missing persons inquiry.
That's not the first one I was expecting you to say. And let me check, not on the list. I'll give you some examples that are on the list. not missing person.
The only way I need to describe you is if, like, have you seen this woman? She's like got brown hair, blue eyes. Like...
Well, there could be some more ways,
right?
Such as showing photos of my family to a friend and identifying each person.
Can you not point?
Yes.
Mi esposa.
Okay. Answering questions from a French exchange student about my family members.
Oh, do you really? Oh, okay. What? I don't know. It's just a bit generic. It's just generic, that one, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but it could be anyone answering questions from someone you've met in a bar.
Tell me about your family. I don't want to tell you about my family.
Why are you on the phone? You don't need to pretend to be on the phone.
Because, like, that's what language exchange is, isn't it?
No, a French exchange student, like someone that comes to your house. You never did this, did you?
No.
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 So it doesn't have to be a French exchange student. It could be, like I say, someone you've met in a bar, someone you've met at a museum, I don't know, right?
Yeah, okay.
You see what I'm saying, right? Okay. You're just talking about it as a topic that comes up.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Buying a gift for a family member and having to describe the person to the sales assistant, so we're not necessarily just talking brown hair, blue eyes. We're talking like, they like football.
In fairness, I've had to do that in Lush once in a while.
There you go, right?
Yeah, had to go in and say, like, I want to buy something for my wife. Okay, what kind of skin does she have?
Right. So we moved to Spain and you want to buy me a present in Lush, you need to know this information. That's an authentic situation, right?
Yeah.
And the final one is applying to be on a reality TV show, which is almost as good as your one, a missing person. I feel like that should be an honorary mention. Okay, so let's say, right, I'm going to ask you for your action-oriented task ideas for each one.
Okay.
Showing photos of my family to a friend and identifying each person. What would be an example, you think, of an action-oriented task for that? Can you think of one? I'm going to give you 10 seconds.
They'd have to bring up a picture of their family and mm-hmm. show the tutor, and then they'd say, and they'd say, like, who's the person in, describe your father, and we're going to do like a who's who kind of like picture thing. And they go, oh, he's the one with the mustache and the giant afro. So if you can say that, and they're able to say, oh, so your father's that one. Oh, I can see that. Yes. Do you see, like, he'd be like that. That's the way I could do that in a real life setting.
Okay, cool.
Because you start going down like routes of, there's lines that certain people shouldn't cross, and being comfortable with language and being comfortable with learning. And if you're asked to present and describe your family, the setting, a natural setting where you're going to end up with, like, in a coffee shop with a picture of your whole family walking towards a stranger saying, can I describe my father to you?
No.
It's not going to happen.
No, we're not talking about that.
You're
showing them to a friend.
You said describing family.
Yeah, to a friend. Not a stranger in the street.
That's what I mean, just doing it for a student. Friend's going
to know him. You're thinking too seriously.
You asked me for an action-oriented approach here. I'm saying describing to the tutor. I think that's a pretty good one.
It was a good start. I'm going to give you what they've put on the little table from the paper. You've just set up an account on a social networking site. Discuss with a friend who lives in Quebec which family photos to upload. Explain your choices.
GDPR.
You don't have to do it for real. It's imaginary.
Then what's the point of this setting?
Because that's the whole thing. It's an action-oriented task in the classroom. It's not like...
Right, an alien comes down and I've got to describe which one's the human being, which one's the dog. It's like...
You can only have one honorary authentic situation here.
But you've gone for inauthentic.
You've picked missing person.
Right, okay.
Okay, answering questions from a French exchange student about my family members... I'm not going to ask you what you'd do for that because you've already poo-pooed.
I think it's exactly the same setting, but, like, you'd have to find someone, and it, like, maybe you could ask them to draw your family from your description.
Mm-hmm.
And although, like...
All right, so you as the tutor are describing your own family... And then they're having to, like, draw it out. That's quite fun.
Yeah, and then you flip it round and do it the way around.
Yeah, I like that.
That'd be quite a sweet one.
That's
to
a good one. I like that. I think that's more.
I'd say that was more of. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Their one says, you've enrolled in an exchange program and are speaking to your French speaking partner on the phone for the first time. You were on the phone. That's what you did. And I didn't
you all laughed at me.
I laughed at you. Okay, but you are on the phone. This person will be staying with you next month. answer the exchange students' questions about your family. So that's literally what you did first time around.
I don't know
who around.
You are. I don't know where you got this number.
It's not taken.
I'm just envisioning Liam Neeson.
That, there is no
describe your family.
Is your action oriented task for the missing person? Taken.
No, it wasn't, but I feel like it's going down the taken direction.
Okay, next one was buying a gift for a family member and having to describe the person to the sales assistant. So
I feel like that's very... I get that, but I don't see the point of... That all of these settings, all of these scenarios are built around drama performance with you and the tutor. I don't feel like that's really... There's nothing against these. I just feel like... To give actually more of a goal, you should have a real-world setting. That's the whole point.
But you can't have a real-world setting in the classroom.
But this isn't a classroom setting, though. This is more... If this was a classroom setting, yeah, you'd have talking buddies and you'd set it all up in little groups. But if you're a one-on-one tutor, you'd set it up as saying, like, okay, we're going to do this back and forth so you get used to doing it.
Yeah.
And then you say, right, your challenge is to go out and do this. And... You would need to put them into a real world setting where actually they have to use the language.
We're talking about the thing that you do in the lesson before you set them that task to go out and do it. These are the tasks for in the lesson.
Oh. I thought it was just overall.
I'm glad you're with me.
No, I thought the idea of this was like we set them like you do something and then they go off and do a task outside in the real world.
No, it's the task for the lesson.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay, you just... boff.
Then how are they on the phone with the exchange? There's two... Hello, how are you doing? It's like...
Yeah, the teacher's pretending on the other end. I don't know. Right.
On the Skype call.
Literally on the digital phone.
Picking up their phone.
Buying a gift for a family member and having to describe to the sales assistant. Here's what they say. You're in a department store and are having trouble finding the perfect gift for a family member. Describe the person to a French-speaking sales assistant and answer questions about his or her likes and dislikes.
This sounds like one of those... like 90s comedies where it's like the man goes into shop like the bra shop saying like I need to buy some laundry for my partner. Well, how big? About as big as her. I meant breast. You see how like it's a bit weird, that one.
But I think like you were saying, it's just like role play. That's like kind of the essence of it, but I don't think it always has to be like with any of these. If we take that one as an example, you could start by using it as a writing task. You could then have someone else be describing their own friend. So like you said, about flipping it around. So you're describing it perhaps and the student is listening, right? You then maybe have some other examples that are written down so that they're then practicing their reading, you see? So you just twist it all slightly to get these different skills and into play. Yeah.
Okay.
Applying to be on any reality TV show. I like this one. You're applying for your family to star in a reality TV show called Canada's Most Talented Family. Film a short video to describe your family to the French producers. Oh, he's back on board. He heard the word film. Do you like that one?
Yeah, that's all right, that one. I like that one, that's fun.
Yeah.
I feel like...
Obviously, in an online lesson, that's a bit of a...
No, that's the fun bit. I feel like...
That would be a task.
That should be a task. Yeah. Like, how I feel like this could actually be executed... in a more positive setting. If you're going down the route of like tutor based work, you do the input, you do a little role play activity a la this, then you have the challenge of going out and bringing back for the next time to then talk about it and talk about the experience or video them doing it. And like the reality TV show one is a really good example of that. You can say, okay, what we're going to do is I want you to go off and you need to talk about your life and talk about your home because you're going to present as like a this new reality TV show. You got to talk about you, your dogs, your family, what you like to do, right? The video doesn't have to go anywhere, you know, but we're just going to kind of like share, we'll screen share it and we're going to see if I get everything from what you wanted to say.
Yeah.
And so they're challenged to go off and do it on their own, but then they bring it back to the tutor and you know, it's a bit of a fun challenge. It's not just like stood in front of a screen and saying blah, blah, blah. With the one about where you have to just talk about going in a shop, that one is say, well, what I want you to do is actually go to, And again, it would change on the context for the student. If the student is living abroad and trying to get better, you could say, well, I want you to go into a shop and I want you to order a certain item. But the item I want you to order or find, you...
is a gift for someone else.
Is for someone else. And you have to use the different terminology.
Yeah.
If they're in this country, you might have to... you know, you might have to find an online store or something and actually do the same kind of thing.
Maybe using like the chatbot.
Yeah.
I think now that we've got the tasks, we've discussed those.
Right.
As I described them, to me, that all sounds like a really fun lesson. And to you, some of them more than others, but mostly...
No, I think they found fun
mostly
lessons.
Mostly pretty
yeah.
fun lessons, right?
I think a fun would be but more people.
Do you think that these are the kind of activities where you say, okay, guys, this is what we're going to do. And there's always someone in the room that goes, oh, and rolls their eyes like, I just want to learn. Like, so
no,
when
I
we
feel
said
like
earlier,
everyone learned through this.
Yeah, but do you feel like there's some people that don't want to?
I think shyness comes into it at this.
Oh.
Yeah, I think there's a general element, and it's the same thing when you talk about drama. Mm. There's always going to be those that adore drama, like, yes, like Shakespeare, oh my gosh. Oh, wow, we're going to reenact climbing a mountain, I'm going to express my emotions. You know, it's wonderful. There are always going to be the people that sit there and go, oh, do I have to? Because,
yeah.
you know, and although they'll say, like, oh, I just don't like acting, oh, I don't like this, in reality, it's shyness. And it affects everyone, isn't it? It's not as children.
Yeah.
Everyone, right? But
so
people will put a negative slant on it and roll their eyes, not because they don't want to do it, it's because they're embarrassed about doing it.
Interesting.
And they shouldn't be ignored because of that.
So therefore you would say, conclusion, it's something that is worth trying with all students at least once.
100%, yes. 100%.
Okay.
You should
see this one doesn't stink. This is good.
No, this doesn't stink. I mean, a few examples smell a little bit. But this approach is a wonderful approach. It's not a learning theory, though. It's a wonderful approach to actually engaging students.
You know why?
Why?
New millennium.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Millennial. It's the millennial theory.
Yeah. No, but it is...
It's at home eating an avocado. Sorry, go on, finish what you were going to say.
It's a wonderful approach to have because you should always try and have an open dialogue with students and what they want. And you need to kind of get over the fact of you're not the most important person in the room. They are.
Mm.
And actually opening up any kind of communication with a student saying, well, what do you want to get out of this is far more important than saying, okay, this is what I'm going to teach you. And maybe that's when I said at the beginning, like, I had a bit of like, what? But to me, that is obviously how...
That's the norm.
That is the norm.
I think that's a really nice place to end. I like that. The student is the most important person in the room. What do you want to get out of this? I think that's a really good takeaway. Cool. Thank you for joining me again. And I'll see you next month.
See you next month.
And also every day in between.
Every day in between.
We live together. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
You've been enjoying Teach Languages Online, the podcast for online language teachers and budding ones too. Brought to you by me, Lindsay Williams of Lindsay Does Languages. If you want more from me this episode, may I recommend my brand new free training, How to Start Teaching Languages Online. This training is free, it's available on demand, and even if you already started teaching online, what you learn in this free training is a crucial step to help give you some clarity that will make everything you do going forward even better. So, grab the internet right now. Visit lindsaydoeslanguages.com/teacher-training to get your free access. And there may just be a special offer waiting for you when you do. That's lindsaydoeslanguages.com/teacher-training. And remember, I'm here to help you and answer your questions. So get in touch. Now it's even easier because you can leave me a voice message to share your questions. Simply scroll to the bottom of the show notes for this episode and click the link next to send in a voice message. And you never know, it might just be your question I answer next time. You can find everything you need from this show over at lindsaydoeslanguages.com/teach-languages-online. Have a great week and share this episode with a friend you know will love it too. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Bye.